Okay, I want to talk about, we'll see, maybe a little nigia. A Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. There's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, which is a very well-known Mishnah. That it says Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai had five Talmidim. Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai asked his five Talmidim, Ezehu derech Yisharash Yidvik Bo Adam. What is the right derech the Yidvik? And each one said something else, and then he asked them, Eze derech Ra Shirchemenu Adam. What is the derech that a person should avoid? They also gave five answers. So Rabbeinu Yaina says, there's a famous Rabbeinu Yaina, which is in the Chidushei Aleif, that what's his question? You know, there's 613 mitzvahs and six averes. So the Rabbeinu Yaina says, a very big yisai, which is a big yisai to Musar, that practically speaking, it's too hard for an average person to work at once on all 613. So you have to pick one thing to work on, and through that you get to all the others, and you have to pick one thing to avoid, and by avoiding that you avoid all the other averes, because it's much easier if you pick in. So the question he was asking is, what is, if you had to pick one thing, main thing to work on, what should it be? It's interesting that what they gave different answers is not what we seem to do. You know, probably today they would say it's Talmud Torah. They didn't answer that. Many of them maybe answered Chesed, which is something that we, you know. But okay. Anyway, but I want to stick on one of them. One of them answered. Let's take the Ra one. And if you had to pick the one thing in the world to avoid, the worst thing, so Rabbi Shimon said the worst thing is halove ve'eino meshare, a person who borrows and doesn't pay back. So it's pleiadic. But okay, you know, there are many averes in the Torah. Borrowing and not paying back is not one of the biggest averes. You know, there's Shabbos, there's Shinukeket Kulam, there's Avodah Zarah, Gidei Raya, Shfichas Damim, you know, Lashon Hara, whatever you want. That make the big borrowing and not paying back, I guess it's a form of Geneva. It's not really Geneva, because it doesn't say that when you took the money, you took it on das not to pay back. So it's you didn't be geizer be a dayim. It's indirect geizer. Okay, obviously it's not a nice thing. It's an avera, but that should be. You say, what is the worst thing? The one thing to make sure you don't do is borrow and not to pay. So the Mefarshim basically explain a very big yisoid. The Rambam says this, that when a guy borrows and doesn't pay back, it means one basic thing. Basically means he's an idiot. Why is he an idiot? Because why are you borrowing? You're borrowing because you're running a business, you need credit. Person needs credit. The guy who's lending to you is your friend. He's the guy who's going to lend you. If you don't pay back, first of all, you lost a friend. For example, the guy's never going to lend you again. And you're going to get a reputation that this guy don't lend. He'll tell other people, listen, you know, I lent him $5 and he didn't pay me back. He's not trustworthy. Basically, it's going to mean that you'll never be able to borrow. You can't borrow. You can't run a business. So you're basically you're shooting yourself in the foot. It's a lack of seichel. Chavetz Chaim says it in a little bit. Maybe it's a stronger lashon. Chavetz Chaim gives a famous mashal. Of course, he makes it by Goyim, but okay, but it's not really by Goyim necessarily. But he says that they had the Jewish storekeeper and the Goyisha peasant, who was a farmer. And the Jewish, and the peasant grows the wheat, bundles of wheat, and he's selling it to the Jewish storekeeper. So he comes up with his truck full of, a wagon full of bundles of wheat, and he makes up for the storekeeper that for every bundle of wheat, the Jew will give him $10. Okay, now of course a guy can't count or can't do math, so they work out a system. How are they going to know how many bundles of wheat the guy is giving to the Jew so that he has to give him $10 each bundle? So they work out a system that every time the guy carries, one of his workers or he carries a bundle of wheat from the wagon into the Jew's storehouse, the Jew will take out a penny and he'll put it down on the plate. And then the penny will be, this way they'll know how many bundles he took. So the guy is unloading his wagon, he takes out one bundle, puts it in the store warehouse, Jew puts in a penny on the plate, takes out another bundle, Jew puts down another penny, another bundle. So after a while, pennies are, you know, adding up. Finally, it's almost all finished, and the Jew goes into the warehouse to straighten everything out, to put in, make sure everything's in the right place. The guy is left outside alone with this plate full of pennies. No one's looking. Oh, so what does he do? Before the Jew comes back quickly, he grabs, takes his hand, he grabs all the Jew's pennies and sticks them in his pocket. It's like Geisha Kopp, right? So that's the Chavetz Chaim's mashal. Like, that no seichel, you know? So that's not Reyes, that's what the thing is here. This guy is not Reyes on that. It's Beferish in the Mishnah. I said it all. Because the other Mishnah, the other tzad of Eza Derech Tova, each one is parallel. Rav Shimon says Reyes on Nairan. So what Rav Shimon held, the most important midah, and it's interesting, Rav Shimon has a shmuz in the Chidush Aleif, that Reyes on Nairan is even in business, is the most important midah. In other words, it's a certain way of thinking, that your brain works. Okay. Now, what are some classical examples of not Reyes on Nairan? Yes. Which, according to Rav Shimon, is the worst weed meat in the world. So, Baruch Hashem, we have here a high school, which helps us have many examples. You walk into I don't know what it's called, not the tea room, the GO room, what's it called? What? Soda room. Okay, right. And the yeshiva has gotten a beautiful, nice, brand new pool table, right? And you see either 10 guys sitting on it and one guy sleeping on it, whatever. Now, it's not exactly, you know, that's not what a pool table is meant for. You know, that wasn't built to be sat on. 10 people sitting on it. You know, the yeshiva had a picnic table in the back, which we no longer have because a bunch of people sat on it and it just collapsed. I don't know what happens to a pool table when people sit on it. You also see the guy eating his supper on it and he left a half. I see this all the time. I walk by and I usually throw it up. I see a guy's plate full of his dirty chicken bones and his half cup of soda there on the pool table. Like, what's the guy thinking? You know, like, leftover plates and, you know, does have a tendency of spilling. You know, you leave a cup of soda, you know, and, you know, it's good. I don't say it always spills, but it sometimes spills, especially if you leave it there and you go away. Like, it's not such a dozen. Seems like pretty simple. In other words, to say it, let's try and say it clear. Why do some people don't think? So sometimes it's because of taiva. Sometimes it's because of taiva. Basically, taiva is blind a person. Okay, that the classical example of that is it says called Raya Saita. It's Saita. Rashi says it's called the Saita because he's Ruach Shtutz. Right, that's the Rashi. That a person doesn't become a Saita unless he has a Ruach Shtutz, at the beginning of, in Shalach, I think. Right, that the first, why is a Saita Ruach Shtutz more than anything else? Because, I think they explain it. If a person becomes a Saita because they want the pleasure of being Mizanis. Okay? Makes sense. It's a Taiva. However, by a Saita, for sure, you know, a person's Saita, if you have the Mizana in front with Kinoi and Stira, your husband told you, they were Edom, by becoming a Saita, by being, you at least, you're also to your husband. You have to drink the Mai Memorim. You might get killed. So it's Ruach Shtus, because what are you giving up? You're doing Znus, a one-time Znus. In the process, you become usher to your husband forever. It doesn't make any sense. Right? It's just, even forget about Ruchnius, forget about Eidam Haba, forget about Averis, forget about you're gonna burn Gehenna. But in Eidam Hazak, you're just stupid. You have a marriage. Marriage gives you a certain advantages. And you're killing your marriage, which in itself is also taiva of znus, for one znus. Don't make sense. That's a lack of rayas anaylan. Except it's a lack of rayas anaylan because it's taiva, right? There was a case, I don't remember if you people, I don't know how many years, it wasn't so long ago. There was the governor of New York was caught basically doing something illegal. He was using, paying money. I don't remember exactly. He was paying money. He was being mizanin. He was paying money through some illegal system. And they caught it because he was, before he became the governor, he was the district attorney, I think. And he created a system that anyone who does whatever he does, they would catch. He set up the system that they automatically catch people who wire money this way. So everyone's like just amazed. Like, what was the guy thinking? Like, he set up the system as a prosecutor to catch people who do what he did. So like, good morning. Like, how stupid can you be? So you have that all the time, but that's at least people who have taiva. Sometimes taiva blind a person. So you could have another thing is sometimes people get blinded because they're so excited about doing a mitzvah. That happens also. That people, because they're so excited about doing a mitzvah, they do the stupidest things, right? Classical example is a guy's in shul, right? Classic example. Happens all the time. And someone is talking and is making a lot of noise. And it bothers you because, it's ruining the ruach of the shul. And you see there's some balchuvas in the shul, and what are they going to think? They see people talking in the shul, even though they're whispering, but so terrible. Such a chiddush Hashem, I can't stand it. Right? So what do? Quiet! What's wrong with you? What an idiot! In the middle of the shul! Right? So, I can't lose my voice. Okay, pretty good. Right? So that's the Shem Shemayim. The guy got so excited about the Shem Shemayim that he lost his seichel, right? Because seichel says you're doing, if you're worried about the decorum of the shul, chiddush Hashem, you're making a bigger chiddush Hashem. So why are you doing that? Because you're not thinking. So that also is very common. The example I would give. In my youth, I used to play chess. I have not played chess for many years. I think since I've been bar mitzvah. But I used to play chess. And I was pretty good, I think. But the way I would lose is when I was about to checkmate the other guy, that's when I always lost. Right? Because I'm so planning, focused, so excited about my next move that I got him figured out. I figured out a strategy of checkmating the guy. Then you become sloppy. And that's when you don't realize that you're getting checkmated and you don't realize it. It's the same idea. When you get excited about something, so either you get excited about your taiva, or you get excited about the Shem Shemayim. Right? There's a story in the Musa Svarim. This is a little highfalutin. But it's that Rav Simcha Zisso in Kelm, they were very machmer on order, time. The yeshiva had to start exactly on time. People, to the second, they say, someone told me that, okay, that there was even a person that when they walked into the Beis Medrash, it was someone supposed to be there beforehand, had the Gemaras open, so that when you walked in, you just handed an open Gemara, you would sit down and learn. But anyway, they were very macro on time, but there was, and they had a system, there was a Shomer who was supposed to open the gate at a special, on time, and let everyone in. The guy, the code of the people come to the yeshiva, and for some reason the shomer didn't come, and the door, the gate was locked. You know, that's like mamish, terrible. Kelm, they can't, everyone's there, standing to get into the yeshiva, and the gate's locked, can't get in. So one of the balchrim of the yeshiva, apparently a pretty chasher person, was a mesiris nefesh, you know, because he's a chasher gadol. So he climbed over the fence, and he climbed in, and he opened it up from the inside. You can open it up, not so difficult. So he climbed over the fence, he's a little bit bizyanis, he's a chashuva gadol climbing a fence, climbed over the fence, opened the gate, and let everyone in. So it says that Rav Simcha Zisso heard about this later, so he screamed at him. He says, why do you think I have a fence? I have a fence so that people shouldn't, to protect the property. He says, once one person climbs over the fence, other people are going to start climbing over the fence. Okay, it's either, you know. And then once people start climbing over the fence, so first also got Ganavim will also see. So they will also climb over. Either, I'm not sure whether Pshat is that a Ganav will see people climbing over the fence. So he'll say, oh, I'll also climb over the fence. Or Pshat is that now when people see someone climbing over the fence, they won't think it's necessarily a Ganav. I don't remember. Well, with Pshat, you know, but the Maizah says you're going to encourage other people to climb over the fence. And the Maizah, now my fence has just, I just lost my fence. The yeshiva needs a fence to protect its property. And now you're the person who, Nachshon ben Aminadav, who climbed over, so you created a system of climbing over the fence. You destroyed the fence. So even though, you know, it's a Shem Shamayim, but and you realize, you should have realized you're causing a tremendous hurt to the yeshiva. Anyway, so what I'm trying to say, there are three reasons why people are not reyes anayran. Sometimes because they have the taiva, okay, which is, their brain is tumbled for taiva. Sometimes they don't reyes anayran because they have a taiva for a mitzvah. Is okay, I understand. It's also wrong. But the worst case is sometimes they're not reyes anayran just because they are dumb. Not dumb. They don't say dumb. They just don't think. Right? We had a case here a number of years ago, which, was not someone from our yeshiva. It was someone from a different school. Right? We won't go into more details. That they decided it would be a fun thing to do to speed around the circle. Right? You know, it was a lot of fun if you're speeding around the circle very fast. And, you know, and I don't know what you do is screaming out whenever you're speeding around the circle. Right? And what happened? Someone was walking in the circle. And I guess they didn't think that didn't stop to think that that could happen. So while they're speeding around the circle, they're walking, they had to quickly go to the side, and of course there were some cars on the side, you know, and they smashed up Rabbi Kalter's car, and a nice number, you know, a whole slew of cars got all smashed up. And of course these individuals were thrown out of school, and it was not such a good thing for them. Right? So, it that little bit lack of seichel, because someone at seichel should tell you that when you go speeding around the circle where people are walking and cars are parked and you have to make very sharp turns at a very sharp speed, it is possible to get into a accident.
Is that a din in taiva or was that a din in
I do not know. I can't answer you. I would rather say it was just a din in stupidity. But okay, right? Another example is you have guys or people, if has happened in different scenarios, those who know different cases, we'll just leave it as ambiguous, where a person goes to a simcha, or one sort or other, and he decides, you know, to take a few drinks. And guess what happens? He gets drunk. Now, sometimes, okay, I remember there was a friend of mine at a wedding, and he was, you know, we hit him under the table. But, you know, what? Yes, he's a very chashy guy. He's a chashy, but okay. But the maisa. But sometimes it's like, you know, like you're thinking, you wonder yourself, like, what was the guy thinking? You know, what happens when you drink? You know, okay, I know you take one drink, okay, but when you drink, you know, a lot of drinking, what did you expect was going to happen? You know, see, you know, yeah, that's what happens when people drink uncontrollably in public. You get drunk. You know, it's not a chiddush. You know, okay, you know, sometimes I hear you weren't planning on drinking, but some people, they were mamish planning on drinking, you know, and they got drunk. Like, so it's a lack the reason really I got started on this, Rabbi Palgan asked me to make an announcement, which maybe it's not chas v'shalom, it's not on the same level, but it's what he asked me to start with the announcement, is that he said the Purim Mashgiach season is coming soon, and he says in the past years, or let's say at the end of last year, during when we were trying with the accreditation, we couldn't get a credit, also know because of the dormitory was in bad shape. And we had to invest a lot of money, let's say last year during Ben Hazmanim, they had someone basically fixing up the dormitory, which is why you guys have such a gorgeous dormitory this year. But he says a large part of the problems of the dorm were caused by Purim Mashgiach signs. Whether it was that people put up, I don't say obviously it wasn't the only problem, you know, cost the shop. But he said some of it. People put up duct tape on walls, and you know, when you take down duct tape from walls, you know, the paint comes with it. You know, that's a big chiddush. You know, you see that in the door to the Beis Medrash, and the front, right in the back of the Beis Medrash, there's for some reason, the paint is missing, you know, on part of the door. That's not such a chiddush. He says, a guy, I remember last year, someone climbed up on the roof and had a put a flag on the roof, you know, because it's, you know, but there was some damage was done to the roof, because the roof is not meant to be, especially certain parts, when there were certain, okay, and the pipes something was broken, I don't know, Rabbi Pag was telling me that someone did something to the pipes. So there's a little bit, you know, it's not like guys are out to damage, but you're not thinking, you know, guys are done in Kastish, because they're there, it's because they're being taking a mitzvah, you know. Purim Mashgiach is a mitzvah. So, hopefully, the Rabbi Pagan asked me to announce that the yeshiva will try in the near future to put up some kind of, maybe some kind of papers on the walls to where the guys can put their head in, and this guy should maybe wait not to put up signs until it's prepared. The walls are prepared for them. You know, they're not that was his request.
Half the fun.
Okay, and he was also asked that the guys don't put up signs on the windows, which leaves tape marks on the windows and not hanging from the ceiling. That was also part of his request. Okay, but anyway, but the point that we're trying to make is there's a very big thing called being able to be Raya Sandairan, to be able to realize the ramifications of what your actions. Now, the bigger the gadol, the more you're Raya Sandairan. Person, you know, the real gedolim. This is what Rashi used to talk about, this, that the real gedolim have the ability to be rayas on daylight for five generations, for more than five generations. Because I know that if we do this, what's it going to affect over the future generations? How's it going to affect my children? How's it going to affect my grandchildren? How's it going to affect my great-grandchildren? Right? You know, a guy moves into a certain neighborhood. Okay, so for you, it's not going to mess you up. But maybe it'll mess up your kids. Maybe it'll mess up your grandchildren. You know, you have to know. It's not such a... On the ultimate sense, is really, you know, you have to look into far term. But that is, and that's something which it seems from the Rambam, that was what Rashi and Chedusha Leif is, just as an Indian just working on the person's intellectual ability, even in business, just to be able to be kind of the mida of seeing the future. Because some people, sometimes it's taiva. Okay, so then you have to work on, then it's really working on taiva. You know, we said by if the taiva is the vowel you, so the problem is taiva. But if it's a lack of seichel, if you just don't, you know, you don't stop to think, like it's so obvious that it's going to happen, and you just didn't think, so you got to work on training your brain to think, which means that either you practice before you do something, if you can make a seder, what are the ramifications of this action? I'm going to do this. What is, you know, I want to stop to think. How, what will this action result? Which is one way of doing it. Or a different way of doing it, which is maybe much easier, is that when you see something bad happens to somebody else, is to stop to think, what did the person do? You know, obviously the guy didn't want this to happen. Right. You see a guy, what did he do that made this happen? Did he do something without thinking? You know, sometimes it's not, he did everything right and just things out of his control. But sometimes you can very easily notice that the guy comes in and you realize, you know, you can see in retrospect, it was so obvious that was going to happen. Like, what was he thinking? Of course that was going to happen. And then that acts as a seer chushi, as an inspiration for noticing to thinking, because you see how this person got messed up because he didn't think. And it also is a practice. You're able to train, you know, that's very often we learn, just like we do in a schmooze. In a shmuz, we learn analyzing ourselves by analyzing people in Chazal. So when you see how in life A causes B causes C, then it's much easier to learn to be kind of the midah of in yourself. Except it's just always much easier. We said this once in Shir, that very often it's very much easier to see things backwards. It's like we said in Shir once, that when you're looking at a maze, and you're supposed to try and do a maze, how to get from point A to point B, and there's this maze, is usually much easier if you start from the end and work backwards. That's just usually the way it is in mazes, that if you cheat, instead of starting from the beginning and working to the end, I don't know if you knew that trick, but you start from the end and you work to the beginning, it usually works much easier. So the same thing is true in many things. If you see someone who got a certain messed himself up, I'm not saying Al Lashon Hara, but Al Siris, to understand, how did that person get himself in such a mess? So sometimes, things happen out of your control. But sometimes it's very blatant, especially if it happens to yourself, then for sure it's very kedai to do. But even if it happened to someone else, you can think, why did this happen? Because he did this and this. And I can trace it back. I know exactly what happened. Right? When I walk into the dining room, to that room, and I see a nice big stain on the pool table, right? Or, you know, or on the You know, so and I go ahead and I say, I think I get, it's, like it's very self-evident. How did that stain get here? I assume it's snapshot that someone actually maliciously poured a soda on the pool table. Right? That much I'm done. It got snapshot is it's self-understood that somebody, I don't even know who, somebody is probably sitting here and eating supper and he left his can of soda here and someone else knocked it over. That's how it happened. So the stain, seeing the stain on the pool table is an inspiration of being Raya Es HaNeirad. Anyway, it's a maisa, it's a fascinating thing that Rav Shimon who's a Tana, felt that the most important mida to work on is training yourself to think, to understand the ramifications, and not Yiras Shamayim, and not Yiras HaInesh, and not thinking about Gehenim, and not Emunah and Hashem, but just the ability to realize the ramifications of your actions. Just, you know, to realize that, you know, if you lie, you're very likely going to get caught. If you steal, you might end up in jail. You know, it's just, there's ramifications. There's things happen. It's like it's pasha. What did you think? You think you're going to do it and you'll never get caught? Yeah, maybe once you won't get caught, but you'll definitely sometime get caught. Like, how do you expect it to get away for always? And once you get caught, you're finished. So it's just to go ahead and to realize the ramifications of your actions is, according to Rav Shimon, one of the most important midas in Yiras Shamayim, in serving Hashem, to have seichel, to understand how A causes B, or B is a derivative of A. And we, Baruch Hashem, being in this yeshiva with all the high school here, we have so much opportunities to learn. Like every time you can watch the high school, get Mr. Bispinus. Okay.